Hello and welcome to this edition of Spotlight Asia. I'm Jan van der Made. Well, today we go to Tianjin in the People's Republic of China, where people still try to get to grips with the enormous blast caused by chemical substances in the storage at the port. More than 100 people were killed, many more hundreds wounded, and the city is now plagued by historic levels of pollution. Cyanide levels are reported to be 350 times higher than normal. Chris Williams is an English teacher who works in Tianjin, and he said that the government has been giving advice as to how to deal with the situation.
It's been quite sensible. So the main advice has been to not head to the area which is directly affected. We've been told not to use cars or taxis where we possibly can, so the roads are clear for emergency vehicles. And the other piece of advice was to wear a mask, a protective mask, to protect ourselves from the pollution in the air caused by the explosion. Actually, it was things circulating around. So a few things began with the universities. So university students started telling everyone else, and then everyone else told everyone else. The snowball effect on Chinese social media is very impressive. On WeChat in China, where people are just saying to other people, this is the advice that we've been told. So I'm not sure whether it's coming from the government or from the news, but that's the advice that everyone seems to be following.
Greenpeace researcher Wu Yixiu details the amount and diversity of the explosive components that caused the blast.
The blast was involved with dozens of cocktails of chemicals. The latest statement from the government says that it actually contained more than 40 types of chemicals. Most of them are dangerous chemicals, including the most notably sodium citrate, also including a lot of ammonium, potassium, nitrates. So all of this are very acute and explosive, and we have no idea what consequence will take place if those, you know, complicated chemical reaction takes place. So that's one of the major concerns for today. And people know that the rain would bring a lot of water, and the water will be most likely a little bit acid, which could potentially cause a lot of chemical reaction. But the government keeps saying that they don't think this will be a case, and they already have emergency mechanism in place.
But the long-term effects of the pollution will affect the environment for a long time to come, she says.
If we're talking about the blast zone, which is about 3 kilometers radius of the blast site, I assume it would take at least a month or even years to clean it, because the site is now left with a lot of chemical particles, and also the site has been left with a waste pond. And how to deal with the wastewater and how to deal with this site would be a huge challenge for the government, especially considering the potential environmental danger to the local community and the ecosystem. I think the major concern now is mainly for the water and especially the soil, because most of the acute particles, they could dissolve in the air and as the water comes down. But the more permanent and the more persistent hazards of those chemicals could result in contamination in the groundwater and contamination in the soil.
The blast received worldwide attention and dominated domestic headlines as well. I asked Professor Wang Zhengxu of the University of Nottingham how the blast, one of the biggest industrial accidents ever in China, will affect the country's economy.
The impact on the economy will be marginal. The economy has been slowing down its growth rate, so the government has been trying to maintain a stable pace of growth for the economy. The blast in Tianjin probably doesn't add too much, so the economic spheres must be dealt with in other policy areas such as interest rate, targeted government investment, and so on. The Tianjin incident probably plays only marginally in this picture.
Then about Tianjin itself, after all, Tianjin is one of the big three or four major port cities together with Shanghai, Dalian and others. There are 150 Fortune 500 companies represented there, especially in the harbor region. How will this situation affect the trust of these companies, and what effect do you think it will have on future investments?
I think that will be quite significant for Tianjin itself. The impact is quite big, because I think the business will go down quite significantly in the port area. They will need a lot of time to clean up, to put things back in order. But it also means the other ports in China, Shanghai and Dalian, will have more diverted traffic to them, so it will be good for them. The other aspect is the Tianjin port has been expanding too fast, and then the safety and quality, everything has gone a bit loose.
So you're saying that, in fact, in spite of all the victims and the horrible damage, this is a blessing in disguise?
The government and the city needs to take this opportunity, take this disaster and turn it into an opportunity. Because it is something the whole country needs to learn from. I mean, other cities, other ports may have similar shortfalls or traps. So this will sound the alarm for them to tighten up regulation to improve safety and quality standards.
Now, the UN is calling the Chinese authorities for more transparency on handling storage of hazardous waste. How receptive do you think Beijing will be to this kind of remarks when they come from, not from within China, but from outside?
This kind of calls are very strong from inside China too, because nowadays the social media is very powerful. So the Tianjin blast actually became a very emotional incident on the blogosphere and the social media. So the government is actually hit very hard by this crisis. So it will make the government think hard and work hard to tighten up, to crack the problems. So transparency will be part of that. And there are some quite serious structural issues to ensure good safety, good quality, such as the port itself. It's controlled by due authority. The Tianjin government owns the company that runs the port, but the port actually controls by the Ministry of Transportation as well. So one reason things didn't go well in terms of regulation was this fragmentation of authority.
Yeah, you mentioned the social media. In what way do you think this whole blast has changed the way Beijing deals with social anger, given the fact that people are obviously very angry? There's been demonstrations of people who want the government to buy back their houses, or people who are angry about the pollution, the cyanide, etc. It's not something they can just discard and putting some people in jail to silence them.
In the first few days, the government was ineffective in dealing with the social media outflow of information. Then they learn quickly and they start to manage the opinion to provide information that will deflate the rumors and so on. So as the crisis for the government, now it has passed. Now the next stage is how to really handle the issues accordingly. And I think the government has come out to say those houses, when they meet the buyback criteria, they will be bought back by the government. So, I mean, in terms of resources, in terms of financial resources, the government is able to compensate, remedial some of the damages. But the public anger that was very high, which has now come down, will leave a very long impression in people's mind. So in the long run, if this kind of things keep becoming an issue, then it will lead to more serious damage of government credibility. So what I'm saying is one or two such kind of crises can be managed for now. But if things keep go wrong in the same way in different cities, then the whole credibility of the government will be much more seriously damaged.
Looking at previous accidents and investigations, what do you think may be the consequences for the Reihai company that was responsible for storing these chemicals?
After the investigation, the company itself will certainly face very serious legal consequences. They are able to do that, I mean, at that level. It's just there are rumors saying this company has very high-level support in the government, in the political system. I think they do have some government backing, but these politicians behind it are not very high in the whole system. They probably are powerful people in the city. So that kind of level, the center, Beijing is able to punish officials at that level. So first, the company will be facing very serious legal consequences. Second, some of their government supporters will also face legal charges. But I think they'll stop at the city level.
And with that, we end this edition of Spotlight on Asia. Don't forget to tune in same time next week. And from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye.